And the chair will call the meeting and respectfully acknowledge the Qualicum First Nation on whose traditional territory this meeting takes place. Before we move forward to item B, I'd like to welcome John Marsh as our interim administrator. And perhaps you should take it away if you have some comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, good evening to Mr. Chair, board members, ratepayers, and distinguished guests. That's about as formal as it will get. On to the letter. So I've prepared a written response. So if you just bear with me, it's just one page, so it won't be too long. Thank you for hiring me back as interim administrator. I look forward to working with you and the rest of the board. This was addressed to the chair. I would also like to take this opportunity to provide a few comments related to my background and past role with the Deep Bay Improvement District, reasons for leaving, and why I'm excited to come back. Background. As many of you know, I was the administrator for the Improvement District for essentially the full year in 2023, and then resigned. Prior to that appointment, I worked for six other small to medium-sized municipalities in senior financial and administrative roles. Reasons for leaving. There was a significant board and community divide over the Thompson-Clark West waterline. I felt that the board was not prioritizing the waterline to the degree of importance required from a risk and timeline standpoint. This created a disconnect between me and some board members on how the improvement district should move forward. Second reason. Due to all the time spent associated with the community divide and toxicity regarding the waterline versus reservoir debate, I did not have sufficient time to deal with other administrative and financial work required to successfully carry out the duties of the administrator position. Why I'm interested in coming back as interim administrator. The waterline issue has been resolved with the relocation and construction of the new Thompson-Clark West waterline. Two, I have a better understanding of the challenges associated with the job. I intend to streamline my focus towards regular administrative and financial requirements of the position. In closing, my intention is to focus on the regular day-to-day administrative financial needs and future improvement district requirements. I am hopeful that both the board and community will be aligned with this approach. Thank you, John Martin. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there anything you would like us to do with this, Mr. Marsh?
Well, it could be read in as correspondence if that's the intent of the board, or just left as a statement. It's really your prerogative. I would share that with any member of the public if they wanted to see a copy or whatever. It's not a hidden agenda item, and that's why I wanted to read it out at the board meeting.
Then I would like to move a motion that we accept this in to our minutes as correspondence in. Do I have a seconder?
A seconder.
Thank you, Crystal. Let's open it up for discussion. Don't see any hands for any discussion, then I will call for a vote. I would ask those that are in favor of allowing this to be entered into the minutes, March 18th minutes, please raise your hand.
Diane?
Yes.
Like it recorded, please, as unanimous. Carried and so ordered. Thank you very much, John.
Thank you.
Moving forward to the adoption of the minutes. I have a motion that the board approves the February 18th, 2025 regular open session minutes as circulated. Could I have a second for that motion?
Okay.
Crystal Kuhn, thank you. I would like to open it up for discussion. Seeing no hands, we'll call for the question. All those in favor of that motion, please raise your hands. Diane?
Yes.
Thank you, that would be unanimous. items coming out of the closed session. A motion that the board approve the February 18th, 2025 closed session minutes as circulated. Do I have a seconder for that motion, please? Mr. Kearns, Christo, I should say, thank you.
No, Mr. Kirstens.
Sorry, Christo. Craig Kirstens, my apologies. Thank you, Craig.
Can you see
it? Again, open up, yeah, KKK. Open it up for discussion, please. Seeing no hands, we'll call for the question. All those in favor of the motion that the board approve the February 18th, 2025 closed session minutes as circulated, please raise your hands. Carried and so ordered, and another unanimous.
Diane?
Diane, I'm sorry again. It's always like you're right here. Sorry about that. Introduction of late items. Any from the table? Thank you, Suzanne.
If we could get added in E1, an update on the status of the filing of bylaw 268 from last meeting. And if we don't know the update, just have an action item. And although I realize that the pipeline does contain information on the AGM, can we have that as a separate discussion point under new business, AGM? Or, yeah, with the pipeline, but AGM as well.
John, are you able to?
Can we please repeat that?
Could you please repeat that, she asked.
Oh, the AGM date needs its own entry item. It's great it's in the pipeline, but it should be its own item on the agenda.
I thought I heard something about a bylaw. Sorry.
Yeah, well, that's the first one. Adding it E1, an update on the status of filing of bylaw 268, which had to go to municipal affairs.
E1, update on filing bylaw 268. Yes?
And I'm going to deal with the date on the AGM right here, because she's referring to the pipeline here in the business,
okay.
So just an extension of the new business.
Okay. Okay, thank you. And I have one here from the table that was just given to me tonight, and for the board's information. This was held in confidence until it was able to be released, and that is March the 14th. And it is the 2024. It was sent in by Margaret Fernell, administrator. 2024 CEPF, Community Emergency Preparedness Fund, Volunteer and Competent Fire Departments Equipment and Training.
Is that new business then? New business?
Yeah. Beg your pardon, we could move that to new business? Yeah. Number 3 under new business. Okay, any other late items? Seeing none. We will move to the business arising from the minutes and unfinished business. Says there is none. We have a 6.1. Is that to be discussed now then, Suzanne?
Yes.
Business arising from the minutes,
yes.
Update,
yes.
On filing bylaw,
yes.
268.
Yeah.
Open the floor to discussion.
And if nobody knows, then can we just have it as an action item to find out if it did go into municipal affairs?
Do you know what it means?
No, I'll have to check.
Okay.
So who's going to do that?
I'll do that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne. Moving on to petitions and delegations. I'd like to introduce our auditor, Corey Vanderhurst. Corey, the floor is yours, sir.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you to the board for inviting me here to
talk about your audit and your financial statements today. So I will go through really high level your financial results for 2024. Happy to say the audit is complete. Big thank you to Janine and the administrator for working on the audit with us. The last step before I can release the final audit report is just discussion and approval of the statements tonight. Everything else is not done. Our audit report will be, again, as it has been in past years, a clean audit opinion. We're satisfied that the financial statements that I'll go through are prepared fairly in all material respects in accordance with the appropriate accounting standards for an improving district. I'm going to start in the financial statements. It's got a page two on the bottom. The statement of operations and accumulated surplus. And in your package is page 30.
Isn't it 16?
16,
yes.
Okay. 16.
Mine says 30.
It does say 30.
No. That's all right. Okay. Oh. Okay.
But 16 is on the day.
Oh, I see. Okay.
it's always getting right now. This is a summary of the year of 2024. You can see there your budget column and 2024 results and the 2023 compares. So from the revenue perspective, revenues and parcel taxes, water tolls and other levies increased from $900,000 to just over $1 million. The significant increases there, the budget increase in the parcel tax rate for 2024 resulted in an increase in parcel taxes, as well the investment income increased from $61,000 to $91,000. As rates were high through most of 2024, you benefited from those interest rates. On the expense side of things, water expenses increased from $422,000 to $456,000. The significant increase there is in R&M repairs and maintenance work on the reservoir. And then fire protection expenses increased a little bit as well, from $199,000 to $223,000. There's two main reasons. There's inflation in some of the fire expenses, some small equipment, and then depreciation as the fire hall expansion and some of that work is being depreciated for a full year in 2024. So, but the depreciation is the estimated usage of those assets. It's not a cash transaction for the district. But at the end of the year, you had an accounting surplus of $334,113. If you flip forward two pages to the statement of cash flows, I say that's an accounting surplus of $334,000 because we accountants like to do all sorts of things with moving numbers around. But when you're looking at your budget, this is more closely aligned with how the results were for the year when you're thinking about your budget. So this statement of cash flows, if you follow the 2024 column down to the first subtotal that says net cash provided by operating activities, that's $949,000. The purchases of tangible capital assets is $1,072,000. That includes the fire truck that was received, $520,000. Had actually been a portion of that prepaid in 2023 and then received in 2024. As well, the Thompson water main work was $476,000 in 2024. And then $267,000 was drawn out of the investments and into the regular cash accounts. But still at the end of the year, there was an increase in the main bank accounts of $145,371. So at the end of 2024, your general bank account has a $323,000 balance. And then if you flip back a couple pages to the consolidated statement of financial position, this is where you see at the top the financial assets and the cash balances. So as I said, there's $323,000 in the cash accounts. There's portfolio investments, mostly term deposits, of $2.1 million. There's always a little bit of receivables at the end of the year for water tolls and property taxes, so $88,000 at the end of the year. Total cash investments and receivables of $2.5 million. On the liabilities, $81,000, similar to the prior year, we're at $71,000. There's always, this is just a timing, right? We're cutting off at December 31st and seeing what was owing. The small amount of prepaid water tolls, $6,533 in deferred revenue. The capital tax advance debt is paid down through the taxes, and the province gives us a confirmation of what that balance is. But it's on the ratepayers' tax notices, and then you see it draws down to $1.4 million. And then the asset retirement obligation that was new last year is that estimated cost of cleaning up asbestos in the building and some of the, what that would cost if you had to dig down some of the walls that, that do have asbestos materials in them. The last under non-financial assets, you get a tangible capital asset balance. That's the, you know, this building, water system, fire trucks and equipment is $4.7 million. As I said previously, the big increases there are in the new fire truck and the water main. And at the end of the year, you have an accumulated surplus on an accounting basis of $5,697,000. Most of that value, 4.7 of that, is tangible capital assets. There's just under $2 million set aside in various reserves for water and firework, and then there's fireworks. And then there's a small operating surplus in the fire and the water balances. So that's a very quick run through of the financial statements. I'm happy to answer questions if there are any from the board.
If you want to speak, raise your hands. Anyone have some questions? You did a good job, I think, Corey.
Thank you, Pastor.
Very good.
So, through the chair?
Yes, please, Diane.
I'd like to make a motion to receive and approve the 2024 financial statements from Myers North County.
Thank you, Crystal. Tell me when you're comfortable with that motion. I believe you're writing it down. And if you would. Are you able to read it back?
Okay, let's try.
Diane is coming back.
So, Diane, your motion is make a motion to receive and accept the financial statements as presented by Myers, North, and Penny.
Yes, to receive and approve the financial 2024 financial statements from Myers, North, Penny.
Okay.
Crystal, I think you seconded it, did you?
Yep, right.
Seconded by Crystal. Any discussion? Seeing none, call for the question. All those in favor of the motion? If you need it read again, let me know and I'll get her to read it. If not, everybody's comfortable. Diane, please, your vote?
Yes.
That is unanimous.
And I would just like to thank Corey and his crew for all the work that they do for us. Very much appreciated.
You're here.
Thank you, Dan. I do need to gather up some signatures. Three different documents. One for board members, two board members to sign. One for either Janine or John to sign. I'm not sure who wants to sign that one. And then I have the tax return. It does have Diane's name on it, though. The question would be, Diane, I can send it to you for electronic signature tomorrow, or I can have the name changed if we want somebody else to be the representative signing the tax return.
Two trustees. Is that just two trustees, Corey?
Yes.
Just with the way it's laid out?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Did you get that, Diane?
And that's for Janine?
Yeah. She should probably sign it.
Yeah.
It states that they gave all the information to the auditors and just legally related to that.
Yeah, exactly. And Janine does a signature line, and then if you can initial every page after that, that'd be fantastic.
I'm fine with signing whatever it is that's required as long as the board approves it. That's fine.
Thank you, Diane.
Thanks, Diane. I'll send it to you tomorrow.
Suzanne?
Can I just ask whether they've got their cell phone turned on? The time is going up several times. Turn off, please. Thank you. Okay.
There was a yellow.
It's all right. It's okay. Anywhere on the page is good.
Okay. Are there pages in front here too?
No.
No. Okay.
There's two pages of
okay.
Some of the questions that we have.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Corey.
And I'll get documents to you tomorrow and see what they do. Thank you.
Thank you. Mrs. Martin, Mary Martin, you're welcome to come up and speak on the Canada Community Building Fund.
Thanks very much for having me. I'm a ratepayer, Mary Martin, and I'm also a director on the Lighthouse Community Centre Board. And as in that role, I've been researching grants for an infrastructure project that we have that's going to be very expensive. And while I've been doing that research, the obvious parallels came up for grants that might be helpful in getting the reservoir replaced sooner rather than later. So it seemed appropriate to share that information with the grant that I was researching at the time. In this research, I've been in contact with RDN, provincial, federal, and business supporters of grants. So I made a fair few connections there. And also offered the that particular grant information to the last two administrators, who were both very positive and open and interested. However, the process for vetting these grants and applying them for them is slow and often quite convoluted. So I don't think there was much traction. In fact, I'm pretty sure that window has closed. But other ones exist. So. There is some economy of effort possible in that myself and some other supportive volunteers would be willing to research all the grants that are out there, and there are many, that would be appropriate for water infrastructure support. And then filter out what's not relevant and present it to the board in a timely fashion so we can decide whether you want to write a grant or many grants, because they can be staffed. Most grants can be staffed with other grants. Any communications would be referenced as volunteer effort, just asks, nothing other than question asking, and the responses would be promptly shared with the board through the administrator. So federal, provincial, municipal, and business grants, different levels, exist in the hundreds of thousands and sometimes in the millions of dollars. And I thought it would be interesting to share the most relevant ones that I just recently researched. These are all in fairly recent years. So infrastructure grants have been awarded for water storage and constructing a booster station in Hope, stormwater management in Harrison Hot Springs, replacing a submarine water main in the regional district of Alberta Clayquot, stormwater management system for increased storage and treatment in Richmond, two new reservoirs and upgrading the existing water treatment plant in Seashell, a new reservoir pilot pump upgrade, dedicated water supply main for the water treatment plant to the new water storage tank, and construct the water main maintenance road and upgrade the access road to the water treatment plant, all that in Belcoola. So the amounts that have been granted, the Belcoola one I just described is $5 million. It's a combination grant, federal, provincial, and there's one other party in there as well. The Port Alberta, Hope, Harrison, and Richmond bundle of grants was $8 million. Seashell took the cake at $117 million. And smaller amounts of $100,000, $200,000 are available through many different businesses and levels of government. RBC is one, and there are several others. Sorry, got a cough drop in. So all of the ones that I described, their situations and criteria are not necessarily the same as what we have here. But the objective was to demonstrate that there's money out there if we're willing to chase it. So the objective that I have here is to acquire a new reservoir sooner rather than later, if possible, to reduce the risk over time of contamination, and to reduce the overall cost to repairs. So the offer is to combine and share knowledge in the best interest of the community. So my question, would the board be open to the supportive volunteer effort to research appropriate grants for the purpose of a reservoir replacement?
I will open that up for discussion. Before we do, I would like to say, regardless of where this goes, it would be nice in a timely fashion for you to put all that you just said in a format and give it to and provide it for us to.
I can give you this.
Hello.
What I just said?
No, not quite just like that, Ms. Martin. Just let me finish. So if you can put all your. We're going to open a discussion, but I'm just asking as the chair that I'd like it to be itemized a little more, sent to us so we can discuss it as a board moving forward. You've certainly provided a lot of financial potential support. That being said, I'll open it up to any other questions from the fellow trustees. Trustee Kirstens.
In your research, did you come across any disqualifications for for improvement districts? Because I've heard this consistently that because we're an improvement district, we're not eligible for a lot of this stuff. Did you find some clarification there?
Yeah, it's not that we're usually disqualified. It's usually more often that the funds are given to a regional district and then distributed at their behest. And I can tell you right now that the requests that I have for a particular grant do need to come through the RDM. And although there's been good support from Stewart at the rest of the RDM level, they have not fully got a policy or a decision on how to deal with what they call third-party recipients. They're working on that, they have some ideas, but they'll call us. This was from the Chief Financial Officer, by the way. They'll let us know when they have something. So it was like, don't call us, we'll call you. But, that's where that stands. It definitely is a challenge.
Through the chair.
Trustee
Coke.
Coke, you have the floor.
Hi. Thank you, Mary, for bringing that forward to the board. In general, improvement districts aren't eligible for provincial or federal funding. That is another letter that is actually on our agenda for this meeting to actually have a class action suit against province to actually allow improvement districts to be part of that funding. The only funding that we are actually eligible for is through the Regional District to the Community Works Funding Program, which is through the UBCM. I've actually been in contact with Stuart McLean as well to ask if there is any funding available to us for any of the programs that we have going forward. And as well, he has said that UBCM has a new contract with the federal government regarding community funding work. And they are still trying to figure out the organizations who are eligible for that funding. So yes, we are completely in agreement with all of the grant funding that we could probably get. Unfortunately, they leave improvement districts on the outside. So I think that going forward, we need to actually look at our next agenda item, which is correspondence in from Steve Arnstad from the Caladian Improvement Irrigation District, which is a proposed class action lawsuit against provincial government of BC regarding this problem. But thank you for bringing it forward.
It's okay. There's other sources too that in my hand, RBC and Western Financial Group come to mind. They're not government, they're business. And I didn't find any exclusion in there. Now certainly the more you dig, the more you find, but it's worth the hunt because they're pretty big dollars that even if it's, you know, in the amounts of, I think they go up to 500,000 for the Western Financial Group, that still is a fairly significant sum to put against the project.
Trustee Kirsten.
So in your research, if you found there was eligibility for an area to get a grant from, whether it was private or public, did they give any indication of what kind of a window that it's open?
Yes.
Because like a reservoir project would be, that's going to be a big one.
Yeah.
Because we're not just talking the reservoir, we're talking about the lines.
Mm-hmm.
That it would be kind of a shame to get it rolling and then find, oh, the grant closed.
Right. There's a couple of two different windows that we're talking about here. One is the application window. Some of them will only be open for a certain window of time, and then they close, and then they deliberate and decide. Others you can apply any time. So that varies all over the map. Also, to the other question, some, especially the smaller grants, understandably say that funds have to be used within a 1 year or 2 year period. But there's always the option, at least you can ask, to say, can this fund this chunk of the project rather than the whole project, which might take 4 years or 3 years or something like that. So there's ways to navigate. Did that answer?
Yep. Okay. I'm just thinking like the Bowser sewer system project years ago. There was so much money available from the federal government, and then the difficulty started about where the effluent was, and that dragged on, and then the window closed on the grant.
Right.
And that was the end of it.
Right, and that does happen. And some grants come up every year, and others don't. So the one I was pursuing, which was a green and inclusive building grant, it usually comes up every year, but some years it doesn't. It depends on who's in power and where the funds are being directed that particular year.
Trustee Wright.
Yeah, I certainly appreciate the offer. If we broke things up into phases, like design, you know, if we agree that whether it's in 3 years or 5 years, we know what we want to do for the design, get a chunk for the design and the engineering. And you know, parcel it off that way. So yeah, you don't have to think of the whole thing, because often the government ones are on a fiscal year basis anyway. But getting funding to do the design at least would be.
I can comment on part of that too. In our case, certain grants will require pre-work, which is costly, and that pre-work could be something like. An energy assessment in our case, like energy modeling, are you wasting electricity or what have you? Also an asset management plan might be required. And maybe you can do that in-house here, but something like an energy modeling would probably require an engineer. And so you might be able to get the grant just for that segment to allow you to get the next step. Other grants I'll just throw out that it's common to see grants that will not fund an entire project, but 80%. So the applicant has to raise the first 20% and then they'll do the rest. But it is possible, as I say, to in most cases, and this is from the federal government telling you you can't stack grants unless they explicitly say no.
Mr. Marsh, please.
First of all, I want to echo what Diane said earlier, that I would have said something similar. It is very hard for improvement districts.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what I'm hearing from the board is this general support for the concept of whatever grants we could get, and then it would come down to the amounts, the conditions of the grant, and that kind of thing. So I did mention earlier today I want to focus on administrative and financial matters, but I also mentioned about future projects, and that would be it. So I would like an opportunity to just review a little bit of this grant information that came into the last communities, and maybe have a chat with Mary without spending too much time, just have a look.
because you told me that there was some support for the administrators not to happen. So that might be because they contacted the regional district, or there could be a very good reason for it. Because I'm not optimistic on a significant grant for improvement district for the reasons that Diane stated and was even identified here. But the concept of maybe getting a portion of a design for that kind of thing, you know, you look at this fire department grant that we got earlier, that's not really a capital grant, that's different. So maybe there's something out there, so I think it warrants a look, and I wouldn't mind having an opportunity to review what we've done in terms of.
Why don't we think about, is anyone like, we'd like to enter a motion that we take the information provided tonight and we do a little research. We could word it better than that, but is there a flavor at this table to take this forward a little bit with a motion to investigate the proposal that was presented? Trustee Leroy.
Good idea. I think it should be channeled though on our core business. Water infrastructure, like, you know, nothing doing nice things in the jurisdiction, because really we don't have a lot of resources to put into making application for the fluff. We need to get to the bones. So if we did, I'd like to really specify that it's on infrastructure.
Do you have a motion in mind, perhaps, that you might
Just taking yours, but qualifying it, that it's not just any grants, anything. It's really focused on the infrastructure replacement and renewal.
Yeah, what I was alluding to was simply that we move forward with this presentation and come up with some kind of a program, platform, motion that we will investigate. So I have not put any words on the table. I'm asking you out there, fellow trustees, do we want to put something on paper that we will investigate the potential of grants? That's all I'm saying. And how simple can we word that? Someone help me come up with a motion. Diane, maybe you could come up with a motion.
Through the chair.
Please.
You know what? I appreciate what Ms. Martin has come forward with. And I do believe that, I mean, I get UBCM grant funding information in my inbox every week. It's not that we're not looking. It's that there's a lot of stuff not there. So what I would say that is, if the public found something that was out there through a private industry, that they would please bring that forward to our administrator and the board and advise us of that. If we don't have that information at hand, but it's not that we're not looking, it's that we are left out of the equation.
Thank you. Any further discussion? We want to proceed. Ms. Martin?
I'm just suggesting qualifying that offer then to say, would the board be open to support a volunteer effort to research non-UBCM grants? So all the other great unwashed that do not necessarily have to come through the RDN or aren't already well known by you.
Through the chair?
Trustee Cole?
I think that's what I said, Ms. Martins. I said if you find something that is out there, that is something that the board is unaware of or our administrator is unaware of and that would apply to our district, by all means, please bring it forward to us.
Okay.
Because our staff doesn't have that time to do that. So if there is something and that it will affect all of the ratepayers in our area, that would be wonderful. But on the government side, there isn't a lot of stuff that is out there. So if there are private monies that you're aware of, that would be wonderful if you would bring that forward to the board.
Mm-hmm. So is there any other entity that you receive grant awareness from that we should not bother with?
I receive information from UBCM personally myself, and I would assume that our administrator probably receives that information as well.
Okay, so that's the only one that I should exclude in the hunt.
Yes.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Thank you very much. Yes, we are actively trying to, boy, if we can find money, that would be lovely.
So,
yeah. Thank you very much for your presentation.
Please do continue.
We move forward to G, correspondence. Steve Arstad has sent a letter. We've all had a chance to have a look at it, and I'm not sure how we want to proceed with moving forward with this letter. But I would open it up to the floor for any discussion. The trustees, is there any discussion on this letter, or is it just received for information at this point? Trustee Leroy.
I hope we can come to a direction in response to this letter rather than sit on it. But if there is anything, I'd like us to consider proposing that any funding not be based equally on how many improvement districts go in on the legal costs, but based on a per capita or rate payer something, so that not all improvement districts are financially liable for an equal share. So if it does come that we are supportive of at least getting the legal cost estimate and then making a decision, I would be willing to certainly make a motion that we reply to the Caledon Irrigation District that we are interested in receiving an estimate of the cost before we would make any commitment, but in considering going further, a financial formula for sharing, not based on the number of jurisdictions.
No, I've... Trustee Kuhn.
Well, I was going to second it, that's all.
Yes. No, and I think it's definitely a worthy area to move forward with. We are limited, just as we found out from the last presentation. Improvement districts seem to be exempt from a whole bunch of different government restrictions. So I would agree with that. It's been seconded. Can you put it in words?
Sure.
Suzanne, please.
To reply to the Caledon Irrigation District that we are interested to hear more information and we'll be able to commit once an estimate of legal costs is known and additional information. And our response should indicate that a funding formula based on population rather than the number of districts. Should be considered.
Through the chair.
Trustee Cole.
They're the same size as we are. They're not a big place as well. I think that the motion we should have is that yes, we would support having an estimate from the lawyers as to what the next step would be in order to go forward with this legal challenge. I think in the end, once we get to the next stage, we can say, okay, well, how are we going to pay for this? But I don't think that supporting the Caledon Irrigation District Board and going forward with this has anything to do with how many people we have. They have 550 ratepayers, we have 642 ratepayers or thereabouts. That means we have more than they do. So that means that theoretically, Suzanne, we would pay more than they would pay. We are just looking at, do we support their challenge and what would, they're saying they'll come back with legal costs. And I think right now we should say, yes, we do support that legal challenge because if this is huge. If we could get all of the improvement districts together, because the regional districts don't want us. We're orphans. They don't want to have anything to do with us. the provincial government doesn't want to have anything to do with us. We're orphans in this area. And so we actually, this is a really, really good thing for us and at a really good time. And I think that we should support what they're trying to do and let the lawyers come back to us and tell us what the next step would be and how much those costs would be. But I think our letter back to them should say, we support you in this pending what the lawyers say the costs are going to be. But we should say, yes, we support you.
Thank you, Trustee Coe. Trustee Leroy.
Oh, just a point of order, Diane, is that there once the number of improvement districts is known, I wasn't talking about Caledon versus Deep Bay. I was talking about once we know the number of improvement districts and they want to get the majority of the province's improvement districts, so there could be hundreds of them, then anyway, that's what I was suggesting, the funding formula, just hint at it, and just so that we're sort of laying our cards on the table. If there are huge improvement districts, we don't want to be disadvantaged when we're only so small.
I make a suggestion that we simplify the motion. We agree that we, with Colleen in principle, but the first step is to find out what we're looking at for lawyers' costs. So I would suggest that the motion simply reads that we are in support of what you are dealing with and how you are moving forward, and we reserve deciding how far we're going to go until we've had an indication of what the legal fees are estimated to be. So I'm suggesting we just get the first step, as suggested here, that we just find out what kind of legal fees they're talking, would be my suggestion. To sort of simplify the motion to just finding out we're in support, but we'd like to know what it's going to cost initially.
Before we commit.
Does that make sense to the
whatever
floor?
Yeah.
Whatever does that mean? You're not quite sure.
Well, I just don't want them to come back. There were 111 districts, and the costs are going to be split 111 ways. When I think that the injection to get them ready for maybe what we're not prepared, we're proposing a funding formula in advance, so that when we get their next letter and they say the legal fees are going to be $1 million. And I don't think there's any harm.
Then we would respectively say that I don't think we're willing to get involved if it's $1 million. But we're initially just trying to find out, that's the first step that he has said that they are going to do, is they're going to find out some legal advice. So, as I said, if I can get a seconder for the motion that we pursue this.
I second it.
We already had a motion on the floor that was seconded by Christo, so you're amending the motion.
Then do we have a seconder to amend the motion?
Sure.
Craig? So then to amend the motion, we would like to just simply change it to, we are in support of...
Support the concept.
We are in support of the concept and await before we are in support of the concept. However, before moving forward, anywhere forward, we await the legal fee, the initial legal fee costs or the legal fee costs. Help me out, anybody else that they're not wording it right? You can help me out, fellow trustees.
Cost estimate.
You're waiting the rough estimate of legal cost.
Yep.
Prior to making a decision on whether to participate.
Right.
Yes.
Are you getting that okay? Sorry about the convoluted like that.
I just know where it is.
Okay. Yeah, no,
Through the chair, I'd just like to say something. This is a really huge initiative. Put out by the trustees of the Caledon Irrigation District. It's something that probably should have been done many years ago, and we are the kids in the corner, and we need to speak up, because everybody else gets the money and we don't. And you know what? Our infrastructure is failing as well. And we need to look out for our community. And this is one of the ways that we can look out for our community. And if everybody else comes on board and we have a class action suit against provincial government and UBC, well, not UBCM, but the provincial government, say that, you know what? You're not looking after the rest of your people. And why are we in the background? This is very huge, and I think that we really need to support this initiative.
Thank you, Trustee Cope. Any more discussion before I have Janine try and read back what she has written in a motion?
Yes, I agree with that. I think we need to get on it. I think it's very important to do this. And of course, the financial is always an issue, so.
Yes.
It's going to be an issue with everybody. The more people that say they're willing to go ahead, the more people they can get together, so.
So it sounds like you're in support.
Pardon.
Any other discussion? Were you able to get a motion down?
Then the thing is, the first one wasn't
okay, so we have to deal with it.
So I think that
withdraw my motion.
Can't we just do it?
Thanks for making it simple.
Okay.
Suzanne, thank you very much.
Okay. You want
to it can be simply like, we are in support of the concept. However, before moving forward, we await the rough estimates of the legal fees.
Sure. Before making a decision on moving forward.
Before moving forward. Before making a decision. Okay. Yes.
One more time, please.
Okay, so we are in support of the concept. However, before making a decision or moving forward, we await the rough estimates of the legal fees.
And what DBID's portion is proposed to be? Because if there's only three improvement districts that are participating, for example,
yes.
Even if it's 10,000, our share would be 3,333.
Right. We'll
share.
Right.
Okay.
Comfortable, Janine?
Yes.
Everyone comfortable? Discussion is, we'll call for the question. All those in favor of the motion as read back to us, please raise your hands. And
Diane?
Yes.
That is unanimous. Again, thank you all for that. Now we can move on to the water operators' report. Please, Adam, thank you very much for being patient.
Hello, Ron.
Hi, Adam.
So the water report for this month goes from February 11th, 2025 to March 5th, 2025. Total water usage was 8,516 cubic meters. We'll see that the majority of that was pumped from well 8, and that will continue to be the case moving forward, but we will have more of an even spread across all four wells with a new rotation, just operations of the well, so we have even distribution across the aquifer. It's noted there in my notes section that well 4 did not produce any water. There was a communications issue that has now been resolved today, so it's not even on this report. But other than that, it was a fairly uneventful month. Yeah, does the trustees have any questions? Yes, Lou.
Trustee Leroy.
On the 4th of March, you said you flushed the blowout at the end of Deep Bay Drive for 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. We had a question last month from one of our ratepayers about flushing at Deep Bay. Is the person here who...
Yeah.
Does that describe...
He's on now, yeah.
Okay, but that describes... Okay, good. Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So yeah, I did receive that question through one of the trustees. It was through a conversation I had with Colin. And yeah, it wasn't something that I was noting down. I was doing that flushing up until we were frozen for 2 weeks, and I didn't want to be flooding that cul-de-sac. So I flushed as much water as I could just out of my sample port, and those achieved satisfying sample results. Now that we're not frozen, the question was asked, can that be more detailed reported? And that's what I've done there is putting down that flushing is happening.
Great. Perfect. Thank you.
Further questions? Trustee Kirsten.
I contacted Qualicum Beach about how they access their PRV stations and so forth and the work they do.
Mm-hmm.
They do the work in-house.
Okay.
So for ourselves, we have to find a new contractor. My understanding is the one that we used to use is retired, closed the business.
To the best of our understanding, yeah. Yes.
So do you have some contacts that you can check with?
And I have already. I haven't received estimates and final information yet, but he has the information and photos of what work we need done.
Okay.
I haven't received back final confirmation yet or scheduling or anything like that. But once that happens, that'll be forwarded out to everybody.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Adam. Yeah. Any further questions from the table?
That well 4 not kicking in when it was supposed to, was that a hardware or software issue?
Software, yeah. There's a built-in safety feature in that if the SCADA tells the well to come on and then it doesn't read, the SCADA doesn't read that there's any flow rate coming through, then it runs for 30 seconds, 60 seconds, and then it cuts the well off. What was happening was that I had opened up the flush valve and was flushing water out, not through the meter. So it wasn't going through the meter and there was no flow rate being registered. And so it was just going out through the flush valve. That went for 30 seconds and then cut off. And so the communication issue was that there was, it was reading as no flow. The workaround is that if I just operate the switch on the inside of the kiosk, then it will run in manual mode and do that flushing. That being said, that flushing is not going to be required with the new
program
procedure. Yeah.
Okay.
Having all the wells operating.
Okay.
On a regular basis. Yeah.
Thank you, Adam.
Good. Thank you, Colin.
Thank you very much.
Good night, everyone.
So we have a motion that the February 2025 Water Operators Report be received for information. Could I have a seconder for that? Here. Trustee Leroy, thank you.
Through the chair.
Please, Trustee Cope.
I would just like to note that there has been no bad water reports since our Oswego Water Advisory, and thank you very much for our water operators for doing their job.
Thank you, Trustee Cole. No further discussion on that motion to accept the water operator's report. I will call for the question. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Diane?
Yes.
That would be unanimous. Thank you. Next, we're going to move on to a recommendation that February 25 Fire Chief's report be received for information. And Fire Chief Lenz has asked me to, or told me that he'd have some other information to add to his report. Please, yes. You have the floor.
Thank you. And the information that I have regards what Trustee Thompson has added into the new business is the fact that we've received the $40,000 grant for equipment for the fire department. So Margaret and myself and a few other members put quite a few hours into that to get that grant, and that's coming through from the UBCM grant proposal.
I'm sorry, through the chair, I can barely hear the fire chief.
Trustee Cole, what Chief Lenz was suggesting and saying is that the information given from Margaret Fennell today just basically says that the fire department was successful in their efforts to receive a $40,000 grant. And Chief Lenz was just letting us know that with the efforts of him and his crews and everyone, they've got a $40,000 grant from the UBCM. Chief? Does that clarify it? Trustee Cole?
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Good. Thank you.
Now, with that report, we have a motion that we accept that report for information. Oh, Trustee Leroy, did you have a comment?
Yeah, what are we going to do? The second last paragraph has two action items that they're requesting us to do. Or they're requesting. Fix the flagpole and or paint a Canadian flag on the front of the fire hall. I guess the flagpole kind of belongs to the district, I think. But obviously the flag would belong to the... Or the flag on the bays would belong to the fire hall. But I know the flagpole has been an item of contention for a long time. Do you have any estimates?
No, that was through the facilities committee to the board, I'm gonna say like 4 years ago. And still hanging in limbo, and it's at the point now where the boat that holds the flag is now broken and of no use. So I think it's relevant, especially in today's days, that a flag be flying in front of our fire hall, in front of our improvement district. There is a possibility of painting a flag on one of our overhead doors, perhaps the overhead door to the improvement district area. Sorry, Diana. Or perhaps we could get a decal made up that we could put up beside where our decals are on in front of the fire hall to get a flag logo up there as well in the meantime. But I think the flagpole needs to move forward as quick as possible. It's been 4 years, I think it needs to be done.
Craig, and then Christy, questions, and then I'll speak.
So through the last two administrators, we were working on a handyman role, and it just never seemed to go anywhere. And one name I did hear was this Toby fella. I don't know him. Somebody must know Toby. Is he working for us or on an as-need basis?
I believe he's come in and done some work for us.
Okay.
I believe he fixed the... broken pipes in the back that they broke when they were doing stone cloud removal. Okay,
so who has he been taking direction from so far?
As far as I know, that was directed by Sundance, I believe. I'm not 100% sure of that.
No, I don't know that.
So my question is, does John Marsh know this Toby fella?
No, I do not.
Okay.
Crystal. I just contacted him to come and have a look at the bunkers. He's busy right now, so he'll make time and come and have a look at that. He knows there are things to be done, but we don't have hours to have someone around all the time. So,
well, I understand.
He can just do things when he has time and just try and fit it in. That's probably the best way to do it.
So what we need to be doing is gathering a list of things that need to be done, leave them with John, and then he makes a call and arranges when Toby can come and do this work around his other job that he has and get this stuff taken care of.
Agreed wholeheartedly, George, and I'm with you. It has been 4 years, and I'm going to make a motion, but we need to move forward and get the flagpole done, the flag up. I'm not in favor of painting anything on the fire hall, so I'm just my opinion on the flag, but I want a flag flying, just to let everyone know. We have a neighbor there that 2.5 years ago we have a motion on the floor that's sitting that says that we're going to spend $3,000 to put a fence up to guard the lights and give him his privacy back. So unfortunately, Chief Lenz, and I agree with you, but there is several motions that are sitting out there and have been sitting for, as you say, a couple of years that we have not got around to. I believe fully that the flagpole on flag is a priority and we will move forward and get something organized. Thank you. Trustee Kirstens.
Crystal has Toby's contact info. Did he share that with John?
Sure.
Okay.
Trustee Leroy, did you have something to add?
Yeah, I just don't know if the flagpole, replacing the flagpole, is it damaged and it has to be replaced, do you think, or is it?
It's the base.
Just the base?
I might have access to a metal flagpole. I wanted to just check it out. Instead of the wooden one we have.
Okay. So maybe let's make a motion that before next meeting, we have a proposal to vote on.
Yep.
A cost proposal and scope of work to fix.
To replace?
Fix or replace the flagpole and install a flag.
Yep.
Okay. Through the chair.
Yes, please, Trustee Cole.
Because I can't hear what's going on in the background because I can't hear the fire chief because I don't believe he's close to a microphone. So do we not have a flagpole somewhere already? What happened to our flagpole?
Flagpole is still there, but I'm not sure if it's in good enough shape that it can be reused again. It was put up there, I'm going to say 16, 18 years ago as a wooden pole, and it has seen a lot of weather, shall we say it that way. I don't know if it's usable or if it's time to replace it and perhaps get something that is more usable in this climate. Metal aluminum pole or a metal pole would probably be more adequate.
Trustee Cole.
Do we know what kind of wood it is?
Trustee Cole, as the chair, Trustee Cole, Trustee Kirstens and Kuhn and myself, the flagpole is an issue. We have just made a motion that we are going to investigate. We will keep you abreast of all the information, but it's pretty much that pole that's there now is not really usable. We need to move forward with an aluminum new or used flagpole and a flag. So if you wouldn't leave that with us, the three of us will follow through and with Toby, and we'll see if we can get that moving forward.
Okay.
Trustee Kirstens.
I have a business card at home for a guy that supplies flagpoles. I will phone him tomorrow.
Brilliant.
I'll phone him tomorrow. I'll share the information with John.
Perfect.
We'll get it ordered up, and then it's up to Toby to install it, because it's the base that's what's the worst.
Trustee Leroy.
Somebody else might have a line on a sailboat mast.
That came up 3 years ago.
Don't necessarily jump to new if you can repurpose the mast from somewhere.
I'll follow up on the free one that I had access to. It's still available.
Chief, we're not going to two-bit this concept to death. If we can't find something that's going to be durable for the fire hall and all of our community, then let's not be penny-pinching for something as significant as our Canadian flag and a good flagpole. Through the chair. Please.
I'm sorry. Chairman, I was not doing that. I was just asking.
No, I realize you were. I realize, of course.
I totally support it. I mean, I have a Canadian flag on a flagpole in front of my house, okay. So I don't have a problem with that. But mine is wood, and it was purchased from some people up in Comox, and it's very old, and that's why I was asking what ours was made out of, because I know a wood one will last for many years.
No, and I appreciate that, Trustee Cohen. I was just suggesting, we've got some pretty good people on the board that are going to do a bunch of research, and we are going to have a proper flagpole erected for the community and the fire department. Trustee,
I just want to say, when I was dealing with the fire hall, the fellows running the fire hall had put in their budget $16,000 for a flagpole. which I discounted, so that's probably why I don't have one now, but $16,000 just sound outrageous to me.
Right.
Yeah, that's like an extra zero.
Well,
I'm
just saying.
Yeah, so. Although we're stipulating that we need to fly a Canadian flag, I think it should be a dual flag home. I think we should have the BC flag up there as well.
I don't think that's legal, stacked flags. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now you want two.
He wants
okay.
Two.
One flag pole.
Two
flags.
Okay.
Trustee Coe, did you have a comment, please?
I said I think we can cross that bridge when we come to it. Let's get up a Canadian flag pole with the Canadian flag, and then we can deal with anything else. Normally, in front of a municipal building, they have three flag poles. And that's one for the Canadian flag, one for the British Columbian flag, and one for a flag that is for the municipality. We're not quite there yet. We don't have that kind of money, so why don't we just look at the Canadian flag?
However, let's, for next meeting, have the option, because the hardware will be different on the pole at the top if you're having two flags with the wires, I guess, coming down from like a T. So, not to shut it out. So
no, we won't.
My
flag pole has enough for two flags on one flag pole.
We will research it. Fellow trustees, let's move this forward. I suggest we've talked about it enough. I think there's a motion that we're going to... Is there a motion? Did we put a motion out there yet? And if we haven't...
I did.
Yes. And it was seconded. And Janine,
not seconded.
I hope you are able to read...
No second yet. Was there a second?
Thanks, Alyssa. If you are able to read it back to us, Janine.
Okay, so before next meeting, get a cost proposal and the scope of work to, and move as far as moving forward to fix the flagpole.
Or replace. Is what the
fix or replace.
And did we get a seconder?
Alyssa.
Alyssa, I'm sorry, thank you. Alyssa seconded. All those, I'll call for the question, all those in favor of that motion, please raise your hands. And we have a unanimous decision. Excellent. Thanks, Chief.
Yeah.
Oh, Diane, sorry, yes?
Yes.
Motion that the February 2025 Fire Chief's Report be received for information. Seconder to that? Thank you, Crystal. All those in favor accepting Fire Chief's Report, unanimous. Thank you, Janine.
Yeah.
Thank you, Diane. Financial reports, total checks issued for the Water Department for February 2025, $111,335.98. Woo! Total checks issued for Fire Department for February 2025, $3,854.71. The recommendation or motion is that the February check registers be received for information. Seconder for that motion, please. Thank you, Craig. The motion is before you. All those in favor, please raise your hands. That's unanimous. Thank you very much. Thank you, Diane. God, I keep forgetting she's not here. Bylaws, none. Resolutions, none.
The verbal update, just number four right underneath.
Oh, I'm sorry,
yes,
Trustee.
Yeah, yeah.
Kirstens, if you would.
Okay, so we received the 99.9% accuracy financial update for the Thompson Clark Water Project. So including the removal of 235 feet of 10-inch AC line on 4891 Thompson Clark West, and the remediation of that trench in the right-of-way. The final cost for this project is $547,161, which was $152,834 less than $700,000 that was put out on social media and Czech news. So that's about 25% lower.
Outstanding.
So
Thank you for that report, Trustee Kirstens.
Okay.
And for all your work.
Through the chair, do we need to accept the report from Trustee
Yes.
Kirstens?
Yes, I was just so mystified that it's done. And then we saved some money. So I move that we accept the update on the Thompson Clark West update from Trustee Kirstens. That's a motion to accept that. Thank you, Crystal. Diane, we're voting. All those in favor, please raise your hands.
Yes.
Thank you very much, everyone. Bylaws, we don't have anything to do with resolutions. We're moving into new business. Number one, April 2025 pipeline newsletter for review. And we would open it up to the floor. I believe, Suzanne, you were mentioning that we're about an AGM date.
If we can just talk that as a separate, we can do the pipeline first, though.
Yeah, please.
I had some comments on the pipeline. The water conservation blurb, I'm just wondering if we could, anyway, make that a little bit stronger. Make it stand out if we can. The other thing is we're calling everything the DBID Fire Hall. We're calling this room the Fire Hall, and I think we've got to change our nomenclature and start calling it the DBID Meeting Room or meeting something, because when you point people like on the second page of the pipeline, it says the DPA Fire Rescue Society AGM is at 7 o'clock at the Fire Hall. I don't think it's at the Fire Hall. So we need to come up with a name for this building. It's not the Fire Hall. Meeting room? Boardroom? How about boardroom? DUID boardroom?
Sure. Yep.
I agree.
Yep.
Because we're not in the DUID Fire Hall. It's still, we'd be upstairs in the Fire Hall.
So there's three instances of the word Fire Hall, I think, on the pipeline.
Okay.
Have you got them highlighted, Trustee Leroy, so that you can let the Janine and John know?
We could even put the word office in front of that as well, DBID office boardroom. Someone might think of the Fire Hall. I agree that there's a problem with that wording. Yeah. Anybody seem to think of that?
It's not the Waterworks. The Waterworks.
Oh, is there that too?
The Waterworks boardroom.
No, it's just the DBID boardroom.
I concur. I think it should say DBID boardroom.
That's a motion.
It's no longer the Fire Hall. It is no longer the Fire Hall. It is no longer anything to do with the Fire Hall. The Fire Hall has its own separate building. And if we were in the Fire Hall, we would all be upstairs in a nice cozy room, upstairs in their nice cozy Fire Hall. But we're not. We're in the DBID
boardroom. So that's a motion that you're putting forward, correct, Trustee Cole? That the
Thanks.
You've got that down, Janine? I'll help you.
Yes.
I
know. You please come up with it. I was just trying to help you move you forward, Suzanne. The motion is going to say, Suzanne, then?
That we name this facility the DBID boardroom, and all references on the website and in the pipeline should refer to it as that.
Just waiting for Janine to.
Okay. So
please, Janine.
Suzanne's motion
is. I hope you can hear this, Diane.
name this facility the DBID boardroom, and all references on the pipeline and the website should reference that.
You could hear that, Trustee Cole?
Yes.
Then we have a second for that motion. Thank you, Crystal. We'll call for the question. All those in favor of the motion as presented, please raise your hands. Diane?
Yes.
It's unanimous. Janine? Thank you all. Deep Bay Improvement District Code of Conduct Policy. Everybody's...
We have the AGM date first.
Oh, the AGM date. Oh, I thought we had it. So that is us to set a date?
Yeah, it's just, it should be more formal in the agenda that the DBID annual general meeting is on May 15th. It's not, it's a separate line item from the pipeline review. So do we normally make a motion that we are going to have the AGM on such and such a date? Is that normally what happens? I think so.
Yeah, I think it's appropriate.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so that's written right there. You're just suggesting that it's not bold enough, and you wanted it, like it says, that we're having an annual general meeting.
This is the draft of the pipeline, and but just for our agenda purposes, we need to break out pipeline review different from approval of the annual general meeting date, as it should be a separate business item. It's correct. Right. It's correct in the pipeline.
If I could, Chair.
Yeah, please.
I don't think there's a problem with just saying that the board approves having the AGM on May 15th at 7 o'clock at the Lighthouse Community Center. It's just a separate resolution, so it'll be in the minutes forever that people can see that the board approved when the date of the AGM is. I think it makes it a little bit more official.
Fair enough, so I'm still kind of mystified. Are we voting on, I'm not sure what,
we have two motions, Colin, to approve Janine's draft of the,
yes,
of the pipeline with the revisions that we've talked about the boardroom name.
Yes.
And then the second motion is that we are having our AGM on May 15th at 7 o'clock at Lighthouse Community Center.
We're entering that as a motion?
Yes.
Okay.
Through the chair, so we need, as Suzanne said, we need to approve the pipeline as presented with the amendments for the wording to the DBID offices as it compares to the fire hall. That's one motion. The next motion would be that we declare there is going to be an annual general meeting May 15th, 2025 at 7 p.m. at the Lighthouse Community Center, Lions Way, Qualicum Bay. And that would have to be voted on as well.
Thank you. So, Janine, I think that sounds like a couple of different motions, does it not?
Correct.
Okay.
Mr. Chair,
yes, please.
If I could, a clarification on the first one. Suzanne, you also mentioned about emphasizing conservation as well. Is that something that you're wanting as well, or just a softer request wherever we can? I'm not sure you want it.
I want a harder request. Okay. We are in a drought, and it's not during, especially during a drought, because we're in a drought. I just wanted a little bit stronger language.
We can just take that as direction, or it can be part of the motion. I wanted to point it out because it wasn't in the motion. Or at least I didn't.
Oh, okay. Okay. So the motion then is to approve the pipeline as submitted with the changes, with these changes.
Okay. Yeah, it was probably on this.
Okay.
Understood.
Sure.
Got it.
Make the water conservation message a little bit stronger because we are in a drought.
Yeah. Good. Janine, are you comfortable?
Yes.
And
comfortable enough to read it back?
No. Yeah. Change all references to fire hall to boardroom.
Okay, so are we ready for that?
Please, so, thank you.
So approve the pipeline draft with the suggested changes, making the water conservation stronger because we are in a drought, and change all references to DBID boardroom. The first one.
Fire hall to boardroom. DBID fire hall.
Fire hall.
To boardroom.
Right. Yes. So that's the
first one. Everybody got that? Seconder, please. Thank you, Alyssa. And we'll call for any further discussion. Good. We've got it. Call for the question. All those in favor, please raise your hands. Diane?
Yes.
Carried. So ordered unanimously. And the next one?
The second one is the DBID AGM to be held on May 15th, 2025 at 7 p.m. at the Lighthouse Community Center, 240 Lyons Way, Qualicum Bay.
Thank you. Seconder, please. Alyssa gets it again. She's fast. Crystal. Diane? We're going to call for the question on that motion. Everybody that's interested to vote, please raise your hands. That's carried and so ordered unanimously.
Just, please. Chair, just a clarification. I know now that there's a recording of the minutes. Is that's correct? It goes on the website?
Yes.
On that last motion, or the first motion on the newsletter, I had it written down that Crystal had already seconded that motion. And then we asked for a seconder again, Alyssa. I may be mistaken, but I just want to point that out if it is on the record that it was Crystal and it was initially done, and that name will be on there and not Alyssa. So we'll double check on the recording.
Sure.
Thank you, John. Now, was there another motion?
No.
2024. Yes. CEPF. Now, I put that as new business. Is that discussion, or have we discussed it? This has already been done, has it not? In George's report? Or do we? Are we going to accept this as correspondence in as listed as number 3, 2024? Do we have to do anything with that? I'm asking. I'm not sure. A little confused. So we have to do anything with this literature?
Through the chair?
Yes, thank you.
Typically, on these types of letters, we would receive it, and then we would send a letter of appreciation to the granting organization. I haven't read it through in detail, but I suspect that that is what would be appropriate.
Thank you for your help. So that's, we don't need to further deal with that. You will take care of that?
I would make that suggestion as a motion to receive his correspondence and staff be directed to send a letter of appreciation to the UBCM. Yeah. Actually, if I could, Chair, we could ask the fire chief if that's usually what's done. Here. Is that normally what?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, John.
Thank you, George.
Do you have that motion?
Yes. Oh. Okay. So receive the UBCM grant as correspondence in and send a letter of appreciation to the UBCM.
Excellent. Second, please. Seconder. Alyssa. Diane, we're going to call for the question on that. All those in favor, please raise your hands.
Yes.
Thank you. It's unanimous again. Moving on to the Deep Bay Improvement District Code of Conduct Policy, which is in our literature. And so the record, do we have a recommendation that the board approve the Deep Bay Improvement Code of Conduct Policy dated 250318. Comes to you as a motion. Do we have a seconder?
Oh, sure, yes, to get it on the table,
then,
floor.
And
yes.
Then open for discussion?
Yes.
Thank you, please.
Yes.
Trustee Leroy?
Going through it with more of a fine-tooth comb, page 44 of the Code of Conduct. Board members shall not contravene any city bylaw. I think what I'd like to do, and are we a district or are we an improvement district? It seemed it was, you know, sort of cookie cutter a bit from another level of government, and I don't know if it references district. For example, 3.3A is a council member, and it should be trustee on page 45.
Yeah, see that.
Yeah, so I think I approve it in principle, but I would like staff to go over it one more time and look for language that is not improvement district language, such as council member, city, and, you know, come up with a district, or be in the improvement district, which references about 100 times. Anyway, so that would be my comment, is I would...
Comment or motion, or do we just task our administrator with going through it and bringing it back to the next meeting, or how do we want to move forward?
I'd say we can approve it. Usually policy administrators have you know, wordsmithing.
Yeah. Oh, we can approve it now?
I think
so. And
then
allow him... Okay, that's fine, if you're comfortable with approving it and then having... The administrator.
Proven principle.
Proven principle?
Yeah.
So
that's the motion, but discussion, certainly.
Yeah, we'll open it for discussion. I believe
through the chair.
Yes, Trustee Cope.
I concur that where it says council member, it should say trustee. And then once we're through that, I think that everything else in this looks very nice.
Okay, thank you for the comment. We have a motion, though, to... Did you hear something?
That the board approve in principle
yeah,
the Deep Bay Improvement District Code of Conduct Policy 250318.
Did you hear that, Trustee Cole?
Yes, I did, with the amendment, yes.
Thank you.
And direct staff to clean up language, or I don't know, substitute city with improvement district terminology, such as trustee, city.
Anything on the big one?
It's
fine. But otherwise approved by the board?
Yes.
Okay.
Comfortable?
Yeah. Are you going to ask me to read it?
One more time.
That the board approve in principle the Deep Bay Improvement District Code of Conduct Policy 250318 and direct staff to substitute city with improvement district terminology such as trustee city. Yes.
Yep.
Clear for us all? And we have a seconder for that motion, please. Thank you, Craig. No further discussion. We'll call for the question. All those in favor of the motion as presented, please raise your hands. Diane?
Yes.
Thank you. That's carried and so ordered unanimously. Ladies and gentlemen, I think it's a question and answer period. Is it not? I don't see it on my agenda. Question and answer? Q&A. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's any questions and answers, please raise your hand. And thank you, Ms. Milburn.
Through the chair, Trustee Kirsten, you indicated that the Thompson Park West project is now complete. So I'm just wondering, is there going to be a final written report available to ratepayers from the AGM?
If you'd like one, yes, we'll put one together.
I think that would be great. And will it include, you mentioned the line removal costs, the remediation costs. Will it also include the legal and engineering fees?
Well, the engineering fees were in the number I gave.
Okay.
All that is not in here is the cost of removing the statutory right of way.
Okay.
Is that still?
Any of the costs involved, because I think there's some legal fees in there too. But anyway, I think a written report would be much appreciated. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else, please? Yes.
My name is Don Colliel. I'm right there on Jameson side. Just have a question about Thompson Clark. The pipe that was deemed by this board to be an imminent threat of being washed away, has that piece been removed?
The first 235 feet from the property line down the slope has been removed. The rest of it is being abandoned in place. The property owner did not want equipment going in there, tearing up the ravine to get it out.
So that section that was under threat is it remains?
Yeah.
Okay, so with that in mind, has a environmental liability assessment been done? When, as you all said, over the last year and a half, 2 years, that it's an imminent threat of washing away into the ravine, what happens when that washes into the ravine? Have you determined whether you're going to do an assessment, a liability assessment on that? And being so, like, what penalties or fines might be imposed upon us by the provincial and federal government if that winds up in the ravine? What's the cost of removing it if it winds up in the ravine? Will the property owners, once the right-of-way has been removed, will that be, will there be something there? Is that considered at all?
The agreement with the property owner was that if the pipe remains in place and doesn't do anything, then that's where it stays. If there was an earthquake or a landslide that exposed it, then the DBID would have to come back and clean up what got exposed.
My understanding, this board, and I'm sorry, several members of this board and the board in entirety have made it very clear to the rest of the public, us, that it's an imminent danger of being washed away. I've been told repeatedly that terminology imminent, and the next atmospheric river, which we've had probably a dozen now, and it's still, as I'm assuming, still there where it was. So your great concerns, we spent $700,000 plus whatever to move it. Now we're no longer concerned with that?
We spent $547,000.
Okay, I'm sorry. My figures were wrong. Apology.
May I speak first?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Trustee Kirsten just told you that if it washes away now, Mr. Cockhill, washes away now, we're responsible for that just as we would have been if it washed away before we fixed it. I don't understand what you're suggesting we move forward and do, hypothetically. Yes, if you'd like us to cost out what it's going to cost if it gets washed away and it's our liability, if you want us to spend time on engineers' fees and do that and cost it all out for you to bring it back in a hypothetical concept, we can do that if we vote as a group to do that. That's a whole bunch of money to get that report made. Thank you. Trustee LeRoy.
Don, we weren't protecting the pipe. We were protecting the ratepayers beyond the pipe for having the provision of water. So we weren't protecting the pipe, in my opinion. And secondly, the homeowner didn't want us to disturb their land. We only had a very small right-of-way, as you know. We would have had to have ground up a whole bunch of their land. So that's why it was left there. And again, we're not worried about the risk to the pipe. It was the risk to people downstream that now have a rerouted supply. So if it goes, that's great. You know, I mean,
and it's just a cement pipe in a ravine. It's a protected water
course. Land.
So you're going to put it on homeowner, I'm sorry?
It's a homeowner's land.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it's our pipe, and
it's always
you've told us repeatedly that the pipe is going into the ravine. It's a matter of only time.
We didn't tell you repeatedly. We said there was potential, Don Cockhill, and we didn't say imminent danger. I'd like to see the literature.
Yes.
I would like to see the literature.
Okay.
On the imminent, the word used is imminent. We said the bank is eroding and there's a potential that the pipe is going to someday go. We did not say imminent danger.
Okay.
You have engineers' reports that said the bank is moving. We've done our due diligence. We spent a lot of money trying to do what's right for the district and the future of that water line. And I am a little bit mystified that you come up and tell us or suggest to us how we're going to move forward in case that pipe.
I'm just asking you.
I just suggested to you, Mr. Cockhill,
have
if
you
the
done
pipe,
an assessment?
No, we have not.
Liability assessment, because it is a liability.
Yet.
It is our liability. It's our community's liability that asbestos cement pipe sitting in the ground, where you've told us repeatedly, it's going to fall away. We need to move it. We need to act on this now. That's all I'm asking. Have you done any due diligence in lessening our liability as a community? That's simply all I'm asking. I'm not asking you to do something, but I'm asking what assessment have you done to mitigate this, our liability?
We have
Trustee
to
Coe, Trustee Coe has asked for the floor. Trustee, you're right. Trustee Coe, would you like to speak to this?
I was just going to say, at this point in time, there's no water going through those lines anymore, so our risk mitigation has gone down dramatically. And as far as to do with any liability on the books, there will be a liability that will have to be entered onto our books in the next fiscal year, just like the asbestos in the building that you're sitting in right now. There will be one on the books probably for that line still sitting in the ground, as far as the accountants are concerned. So we'll have to have something there. But there is no water currently going through that line that you're talking about, Mr. Cargill. So that all of that water that would have gone down the stream and taken out people's houses and done all sorts of things to the creek is now mitigated. So, thank you for that.
Okay, I understand the water won't be there, but it's still an asbestos cement pipe.
There will be a liability on the book.
Yeah. My understanding, and I know asbestos cement pipe, when it is removed, and I'm sure that the contractor removed this section on Mr. Kuzno's working piece of land, double bag that and dispose of it in a proper landfill. So now we've got another section in an area where we, as I said, we've been told by you all that this is an imminent danger, and I use the word, I have recordings of it, so that this board repeating that, and former members of this board repeating that we are told and made very clear even prior to the election, on campaign election, I came across people who were told this, that we need to act now. We need to do this now. It's only a matter of time. So, that's the only thing I'm asking is what assessment has been done, environmental assessment has been done to determine if and when that happens. Because it is a liability issue to us, and that's, I'll leave it at that with you guys, so.
Trustee Leroy, a comment?
Yeah, when you see the water mains breaking in Vancouver, the whole system is a liability. It's not one section of pipe. If the water main breaks on Gainsburg or on Jameson, you've got a liability because it's going to damage something. So, you know, we don't plan from a liability perspective the whole system. If something happens and you react and you take action.
Thank you.
Can I just add something?
Trustee Kuhn, please.
I just want to add something that if you look at all the engineers' reports about our aging water structure, that section through the ravine was flagged by the engineers as critical for replacement. I think they had flagged a figure of $700,000 or $800,000 anyway. So as a replacement project, that is something that has been done. It was flagged by the engineers and it is now done, so it's one of the things we don't need to deal with in the future. They had allocated or mentioned that we should put those funds aside for that. Anyway, just wanted to add that.
Thank you, Trustee Kuhn. Additional speakers, please, or questions, please. Seeing none, I would say we need a motion to adjourn.
Seconder,
Trustee Kirstens. All those in favor, Diane, of adjournment, please raise your hands. Carried and so ordered, unanimously. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Diane.
Thanks, Diane. Bye.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.